So last week, it was the president speaking about the Middle East and the Arab-Israeli peace process from Cairo. Today, it's Middle East envoy from the Barack Obama administration, George Mitchell.
Israelis and Palestinians have a responsibility to meet their obligations under the roadmap. It's not just their responsibility. We believe it's in their security interest as well.
Former senator from Maine, current in U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell yesterday called for immediate peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Joining us now is Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He's with our partners, of course, the BBC, joining us from London. Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about the roadmap here. It emerged in the early part of this decade as a kind of way of moving forward in a Middle East peace process that seemed frustratingly stalled. Now George Mitchell is describing it as a set of obligations. Do the parties see it that way?
Well, hi, John. Good morning. It's interesting. I mean, the roadmap, in a way, has until recently been cast aside. It was seen very much as a roadmap to nowhere, making no progress at all. I think there are, though, clear obligations on both sides. On the Palestinian side, an obligation to halt violence, to get the security system in order, particularly in the West Bank, which is controlled by President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah organization. But of course, on the Israeli side, a crucial obligation to halt settlement building. And that is very much what the Obama administration has focused on. It isn't only what the Israelis have to do, but that demand for a freeze on all settlement building is something that really has been seen, I think, by many observers as a sea change in U.S. relations with Israel, a demand that the Israelis have to honor obligations that they have made to successive U.S. administrations.
Well, of course, there are, you know, demands that are made, and then there's what the administration will take. Do you think George Mitchell is looking for a preliminary statement from the Israelis on settlements or a definitive ban as a sort of a way to move forward?
Well, look, everything we've seen so far is that the Americans want a freeze on settlement construction, full stop. We've heard that not just from Mr. Mitchell, but from the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and from the president himself. The Israelis have pretty much responded by saying, well, look, we're prepared to do something, but we're not prepared to accept an all-out freeze. They've argued for this phrase, the natural growth of settlements, although it's been very clear that a lot of the building that has gone on has been way beyond what you might regard as simply natural growth in existing settlements. The Israelis also are prepared to build some of the outposts, which are even seen as illegal under Israel's own law. These are small settlements established without government authority by the more radical elements in the settler movement. We're awaiting now a speech from Mr. Netanyahu, maybe next week. He has said that he is going to make a clear statement on the peace process then. And I think there's been some indication, you know, John, of an attempt by the Americans to roll back just a little bit. Not that they're relinquishing the pressure on Israel or easing the pressure, but we understand Mr. Netanyahu and the U.S. president spoke by phone, I think, yesterday. And I think there's just perhaps a feeling that the Americans, they're not going to give ground, but they don't want to, push
right.
Mr. Netanyahu up against the wall too quickly.
Well, we were saying as recently as yesterday that the Netanyahu statement on national security, which could include settlements, could come as early as tomorrow, but if that's slipping, obviously the devil is in the details. Let's talk about the Palestinians for a moment. Mitchell is going to meet with Palestinian leaders, I believe, tomorrow. Barack Obama last week totally ignored the situation in Gaza with Hamas controlling Gaza and Fatah really not able to project a united front in the Palestinian movement. Do you think Mitchell is going to continue that apparent policy of just ignoring Hamas and Gaza?
I don't think it's going to be possible to ignore Gaza. For one thing, events there could simply push Gaza back onto the top of the headlines if violence were to be renewed. So that's a huge problem. I think one of the many missing pieces in this Middle East jigsaw is obviously some form of Palestinian national unity government. And I think without some progress there, I mean, the focus, as I say, has been very much on what Israel has to do regarding settlements. But I think without some significant move towards Palestinian unity, that is in effect going to hobble one of the key partners in the peace process. So that's something where there has to be some movement as well.
Finally, Jonathan, and quickly, it appears that by the Lebanese elections, the result of the Lebanese elections yesterday, that Syria and its Islamic-backed coalition suffered something of a setback. Do you think there's more pressure on Syria to possibly be a wild card and create some atmosphere for a deal between Israel and Syria?
Well, I think that is Syria is slowly moving into the frame. I mean, we're told, we think George Mitchell, the U.S. envoy, is going to be going to Damascus. That would be very significant if he does fetch up there. I think in a way, you know, this is part of the broader picture. As I said, there is this jigsaw. There are a number of pieces. Lebanon, things have moved, one might argue, slightly in America's favor in the aftermath of these elections. I think people will be watching what's coming up with Iran's presidential election as well. I mean, in many balls have to be kept in the air, and clearly Syria and Iran have an important role in influencing the context of what's going on here.
Puzzles, balls in the air, the whole thing. George Mitchell is in the middle of it, Middle East envoy. Thank you very much. Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent, reporting from London.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.